Hey everyone, my name is Steven, and thanks for checking out this message today. We are so glad that you are here and want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do this is to text River Connect to 97,000. There we can help answer any questions you may have or even pray with you. You can visit our website, theriverchurch.cc, to learn more about us and what we are as a church. Finally, if you want to support the work we are doing here at the River Church, financially, please feel free to text 84321 with the amount that you would like to give. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Well, good morning. You are all the brave ones in Michigan. Congratulations. Or you have trucks. But it's blessed to be here, blessed to be able to gather, just to be able to echo what Grant just said. It's all about the gospel, so I'm just blessed that you came out on this Sunday morning to gather with us. If you're joining us online, thank you for joining us online, and this is the beauty of technology. So while I love face-to-face, I love being able to shake hands, I love being able to smile and talk to people, there is just something about being able to join us, whether you're at the comfort of your home, whether you didn't want to drive, which is totally fine. So I kind of came from Holly, so I dropped my wife off. She's our nursery director in Holly, and then I came out to Flushing, and I texted her when I was on 75. I was like, hey, 75 is pretty nice. And then I got off 75. And I know we had local magistrates and we had some local government officials here the last couple weeks. If you guys might have an email for me, I'd love to pass it forward. But then that became the different drive, and then I got here, and my wife was like, did you get in? I was like, yeah, she's like, did you get in safe? I'm a man. I know how to drive in the snow. So again, we got in. But again, for all that to be said, it's a blessing to be here in Flushing. For some of you who know me, some of you have the privilege of not knowing me. My name is Ryan Story. So I'm actually the family pastor here at the River Church. So basically what my job is, it's very unique. I oversee all of our River Kids ministries. So that is actually birth through fifth grade. I help oversee all of our River Student ministries, which is basically sixth grade till 12th grade. And then I oversee our young adult ministry. So I have an amazing team. So if you're still like that, that doesn't make sense. I'm Carson's boss. It's an easier thing. And I absolutely love everything that Carson and Anna are doing here at the River Kids Ministry, because I remember years ago when we had maybe five or six kids, and then Carson is constantly texting me every week like, dude, we had 20 in elementary. And I'm like, God is good, my man. God is good. So it's a privilege just to be able to be up here with everybody. I pray that you had an amazing Thanksgiving, a couple days. Lions, I was wearing my Lions hoodie yesterday at Costco, and the amount of times I got stopped just with people lamenting or making fun of me, I don't know which one it was, but it was a blessed time for my family. I hope it was a blessed time with you. And then Christmas is right here, so we're getting ready to celebrate that, because let it snow and it's already here. But for us today, Pastor John is off. I know he's praying for you guys, but it's a blessing to be with you guys today. But for us today, we're going to be wrapping up our series in Romans. So crazy to think that we've been in this series since May. So if you got your Bibles, we're going to be in Romans chapter 16. But before we start, I'd love to be able to pray for us, and then let's see what God has for us this morning. So Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, thank you for who you are. Lord, for every single person who is within the sound of my voice, Lord, whether they're joining us online, Lord, whether they're with us in person, Lord. As your word says, Lord, when we draw close to you, Lord, you draw close to us. So today, Lord, whatever distractions, whatever stresses, anxieties, Lord, whatever just frustrations that we may have, Lord, pray that we just lay them down at your feet, Lord. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for being so gracious to us, Lord. And thank you for just giving us so many opportunities, Lord, as a church where we're able to preach the gospel. But Lord, today, pray that we make it personal for ourselves. Lord, as we look to your word, Lord, and we try to figure out how to just wrap an amazing book of your word, Lord, pray that every single person here leaves encouraged and changed, not because of the words I say, Lord, but because of you. So, Jesus, we love you, and Lord, we pray this all in your beautiful name. Amen. So,
One of the very unique roles of kind of being the family pastor is I'm a pastor, but I'm not really like connected to a location. So actually, when I started actually explaining what I do for a profession, I'm like, hey, I'm a pastor. People always be like, oh, what church? Oh, the River Church. And then if they have any idea, any semblance of what we are, oh, what location? I'm like, well, all of them. And then instantly people are like, how can you be at all nine? I'm like, well, I'm not. But like, I'm a pastor. I was ordained back in like 2015. I had the opportunity to be a location pastor for about 6 years, and I absolutely loved it. But with this new season of life, just for me to be able to focus on seeing our kids ministry and our student ministry and our young adult ministry just be the best it possibly can be, I've been a little bit of a freelance guy as of late. So one of the things that I really, really enjoy, though, is I get to actually travel to all nine of our locations, and I get to kind of fill in for location pastors, or I get to join them for an Awana, or I get to see how a kids' gathering is. And I was talking to my son about that kind of like last week, because he was like, hey, Dad, are you coming to the gathering on Sunday? And I'm like, actually, no, I'll be preaching at Flushing. He's like, but you were just somewhere else like last week. I was like, I was. I actually went to a kids gathering. I actually watched one of our other guys. And then, well, you weren't at Awana there last week. No, I was at Burton last week. I wanted to go check in on Mr. Markey to see how he was due to be an encouragement to him. But he asked me a very, very profound question. He's like, but do you like that? I was like, well, yeah, I like that, son. I believe I'm following the Lord and my walk with him. But he's like, well, what do you like the most about it? And I first had to think. I was like, it's definitely not gas prices. I do love being able to listen to some podcasts. I do love being able to listen to some worship music. But the thing that I love about going to all nine of, especially the River Church locations, is just seeing the idiosyncrasies, the differences in the uniquenesses of all nine of our locations. It's beautiful. Not one of our kids' areas are designed the same. They're all different. Some are better, some are worse. Some have awesome secure areas. There's like kids' bathrooms in there, and it's awesome. Some have huge, like just warehouse feels. It's awesome. But the one thing that I think is even more awesome about the similarities is also the differences too. Because the thing that makes the locations amazing is actually the people. So talking to my son about it, he's like, "What do you love the most about it?" And I was like, "It's the people." I love being able to meet new people. And I'm not always good at peopling. I don't know if you're one of those people who get like overworked up in your head before you go and like you got to greet somebody and you got to shake their hand and you're like, all you have to say is, hello, I'm Ryan. All you have to say is, hello, I'm Ryan. All I have to do is say, hello, I'm Ryan. And you're like, good evening. And you're like, that's going to stay with me for the rest of the day now. And if you're like, oh my gosh, he knows. I know, because again, I struggle with that, but I love people. Sometimes I struggle with peopling, but I love people. I love everyday common people. Even on my way in, driving in here, one of my favorite sights I saw driving into Flushing was some lady was just out shoveling her driveway. And I was like, that is awesome. I have no idea who you are. I feel it should have been a younger teenage boy, which, young men, this is a great way to make some cash on a day like this. But the reality is, like, That lady was just out shoveling her driveway. I wanted to stop and I wanted to get to know her. I wanted to actually help her a little bit. But, like, I love people. And my wife always says this. She's like, you're the eternal optimist. She's like, you believe in people to a fault even when it hurts you. And I'm like, oh, okay. But it just comes down to it, even to go back to the son or the question that my son asked. Is he's like, hey, what do you like the most about going to each location? People. So if I don't know you, I'll be able to shake hands with you. I'll try not to say have a good evening. I'll try to actually make it sure it's normal. I'll try to make sure it's not awkward. But in the same way, I love going around to God's church to get to know God's people. And that's what kind of brought me to like our conclusion today. So I get told a couple months ago, hey, we're going to ask you to fill in for Pastor John up at Flushing. Hey, you're going to conclude our longest running sermon series. By the way, you're also going to conclude one of the deepest books of the Bible. So have fun preparing. So instantly, like again, I hit the books. I start reading. I'm reading my commentaries. I'm praying. I'm praying. I was like, Lord, how do I conclude one of the most theological and doctrinal rich books that you have in your word? Lord, how do I conclude something where we have talked about so many different things? We have talked about so many different aspects of what the book of Romans has. How do I conclude this? And so simply, I actually just went back to the beginning, and I started reading. So if you got your Bibles, I know I said I was going to be in Romans 16, but if you jump back to Romans 1. Romans 1 starts, and I believe this is like Paul's sentiment. This is like the verses that I think God really wants us to really hone in on. And I think we always start at 16, and I think sometimes we forget the importance of 15. But in Romans chapter 1, verse 15, Paul, I am a servant of Christ. This is a guy whose life completely got transformed by the gospel. He writes, "So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome." If we ever need to know Paul's sentiment, he's eager about two things. One, I want to preach the gospel to you. But the thing that we never can overlook, though, is that it's not just about people. It's also about that message that matters. He says, "So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also to who is in Rome." And one of some very, very popular verses, I'm already seeing an unashamed shirt from summer camp over in the corner, but Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everybody who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For it is the righteousness, for the gospel is the righteousness of God, is revealed from faith for faith, and as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." This is one of the most beautiful verses to like start a letter with, because Paul is making sure, like he's not bait and switching people when it comes to talking about something. He's like, "Hey, I want to talk to you guys. I'm eager to talk to you guys about something, but what am I eager to talk to you guys about? The gospel." He's eager to talk about the good news of Jesus Christ. And if by chance you are here and you have not clearly heard the gospel, if you're joining us online or whether you just randomly pick up this recording at some point in your life, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news that Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, came down to dwell with us on earth. He became our Emmanuel. So we get to start celebrating next week. We get to know that God loved us so much. He came down, he dwelt among us, he lived among us, he lived with sinners, even though he was the high king of heaven. He lived with us, dwelt with us, stayed with us, went through the exact same things as us, but he never sinned. He was always meant to be the Christ. He was always meant to be the Messiah. He was always meant to be the anointed one, and he chose to dwell down here, and with the joy set before him, he died on a cross. Why did he die? Because we had this thing called sin. And sin brought separation. Sin brought rebellion. Sin brought death. And because Jesus, our Emmanuel, our God, who was with us, died on a cross for our sins, as Paul is saying, when we put our faith in that, we're restored. We're healed. We're redeemed. The blood of the Lamb washes us clean. So what is Paul saying? I'm eager to preach that gospel to you. I'm eager to preach to you the most important truth that any human has to grasp and any human has to know, that God loves them so much that he died for them. And this is one of those things where, again, this is Paul's thesis statement. For Paul, the gospel of Jesus Christ is everything. But more importantly, the gospel of Jesus Christ is for everyone. It's for people. It's not just academic. It's not just religious jargon. The gospel of Jesus Christ is meant to be something that truly happened, that we put our faith and our trust in the fact that Jesus Christ truly came, lived, died, rose again 3 days later, ascended to heaven. But it wasn't just meant to be something, oh, it's just in history books. It's meant to be a transformative truth that changes us, and it transforms us from life, or from death to life. So for us, when Paul starts the sermon, or his letter, he's saying, "Hey, what you got to know is, I'm not ashamed of this gospel." But to go back that one verse, I'm eager to talk to every single one of you about this. The gospel is everything, and the gospel is for everyone. And then that Paul springboards into talking all things about universal sin and the role of the law, justification, and how we got new life in the Spirit. And we get to talk about government and preferences and a righteous plan for salvation. We get to talk about Christian living. Like, these are all the things that we just got done talking about since May. And if you're like, I can't remember what we talked about, this is the beauty of our River Church app. This is the beauty of the River Church website. You can go back and you can listen to 9 locations worth. We still ain't going to scratch the surface of Romans, but you could go listen to it. But in this moment, though, but in Romans, for God's word, though, the one thing that I kept playing with and the thing that God kept bringing up is how God's word is lived out, how God's word is shared, and how the gospel that Paul loves so much is always known. It's always transformative, but the one thing that I kept leaning into is that statement that Paul says where he's like, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you. I'm eager to preach the gospel to you. And I love this. Because we can pull the truth of the book of Romans all the way 2025 years in the future. And we can still read stuff in Romans and be like, oh, that applies to me today. Why? Because it's God's word. It's living. It's active. It's not just a book. But also, when Paul's talking about this, he's like, hey, I'm eager to teach you. He's talking to specific people. In the same way that I love going to 9 locations to be able to meet different people, the one thing is that there's a bunch of yous that I get to go meet whenever I get to float around. Because you are a part of the church. If you have been saved, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've taken your next steps for baptism, you're a part of the yous. But for Paul and his original audience here, though, he goes on and he lists a bunch of yous. And now for me, like, I love lists. Now, I don't know where you're at if you're reading through, like, hey, I'm going to start my Bible plan in the year. I'm going to get to Genesis. You're going to get to, like, Genesis 5-ish. There's a lot of hard names. I give you a heads up, nobody will ever correct you if you mispronounce them ever. Just say the name confidently, say the name phonetically, and just move forward. Nobody's going to turn around and be like, that's actually an I sound, not an S sound. Again, us millennials, we weren't taught how to read. We just got taught how to read words. We don't know the words. But with it, reading through these lists, the thing I realized is like how common the church was back then is very similar to the way that the church is now. Because I think sometimes when we read the Bible, we read about a Paul and we're like, dude, Paul's like the superhero, man. Like he knows everything, man. He was the theologian of theologians, man. He had it all together. And then we realize he actually had like a thorn in his flesh. We read about those young pastors who are coming up. And we look at some of these guys who are actually like in the jail picture, who went into the jail to preach the gospel. I'm like, man, those guys have it all together. But then there's a guy by the name of Timothy 2,000 years ago who struggled because people look down on him for being young. We turn around and we read things in the Bible and we build it into being something that it's not necessarily meant to be. Well, David was just some righteous warrior and he was the man after God's own heart. Yeah, but David struggled. I mean, you can read about Peter. Peter was missing on Jesus so much, he brought a dagger and he cut a dude's ear off. Jesus had to be like, no, we don't do that. He looked at a guy by the name of Thomas. Thomas doubted. You ever doubt? You read moments where two of like the superheroes of the faith, so to speak, where you have Peter and Paul. They get in an argument over how to handle Gentiles and what to do with eating with people. But so often when we read the Bible, like we make it this outer body experience. We make it like this like Marvel Cinematic Universe-esque thing where it's so far removed from us. We don't realize that the church has always just been common, ordinary people who know, love, and accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in Romans 16, Paul just lists a bunch of these yous. So again, like if I butcher a name and you know it better than me, praise God, you're more of a scholar than me, but I'm going to do my best with some of these names. But in Romans 16, verse 1, and again, a very popular verse, but I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Centuria, that you may welcome her in the Lord in the way worthy of the saints, and you help her in whatever she may need from you. for she has been a patron of many and myself as well. Now, the one thing, doing a deeper study on Phoebe actually would have been like a pagan name. So she was somebody who was far from God. She wasn't brought up as a Hebrew. She wasn't brought up as a Jew. She came to know the gospel later in life. Have you ever met somebody who came to know Jesus later in life and they just became a diehard, loving servant of Jesus? Pretty common, right? Have you ever met those ladies who are just constantly always here serving and loving people? In the way that Phoebe, even again, she helped me. Is there somebody here who knows for a fact that they are always overly loving Pastor John or Carson? We think about these things like, oh man, Phoebe's a superhero. Yeah, there's Phoebes that exist. There's yous that exist. In verse 3 in Romans 16, it says, greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, that's found in the book of Acts, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks to them. And I love this. Greet also the church in their house. Man, they risked their necks for the gospel. Well, different time, different place, but and greet the church in their house. Well, we don't necessarily have house churches, but you ever met somebody who opens up their house to do a Bible study? You ever met somebody who opens up their house to do a growth community? Have you ever met a husband and wife duo that just faithfully serve no matter what? They're always in? Because we read Prisca and Aquila, we're like, oh man, they're superheroes, man. They got it all down. They're just common and ordinary people who love the gospel. They're the yous. They're just like us. And we continue down in verse 5. It says, greet my beloved Penitus, who is the first convert to Christ in Asia. You know, monumental. Like, I don't think any of us get to say that that's our claim, that we're the first convert in an entire continent. Someone's going to Antarctica tomorrow to go to find somebody to preach the gospel. Because, again, that might be the only place left. I might be wrong about that. Don't Google me because, again. But to look at this, like, this guy was so known. But have you ever heard of that one guy who came to know Christ despite all odds? I cannot believe that family came to know Christ. I've known them for years. They were those kids at school. They were always in trouble. But, oh, my gosh, that person showed up and gathered with us, and they accepted the Lord. They gave their heart to Christ. We look at this guy. We're like, you were the first convert in a continent. Yes, we don't get that claim anymore. The world got smaller. But in the same right, have you ever seen somebody where you're like, I didn't see that coming? We have this. In Romans 16, it says, greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Have you ever met it again? Another woman who dutifully and faithfully serves the church. If the doors are open, they're here. They're always serving other people. Verse 7 in Romans 16, it says, greet Adronicus and Junai, my kinsmen, so these were Jewish people, and my fellow prisoners. They were well known by the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Again, this is probably a husband and a wife combo. These are yous. Greet Ampeltius, my beloved in the Lord. Like, is there somebody that you look around and you can greet and you be like, that's my boy right there? Like, when you see them when you're gathering, when you see them at a growth community, like, you know it's that bro handshake. You know it's that hug. You know it's that I've been excited all week to see you. But that's my beloved. Greet Apollonius, who is approved in Christ. Now, they actually say that this guy was actually, with his name, if you look at it, he was actually part of the royal house. So he had some sort of government role. He's probably Jewish, but he had a government role. And greet those who belong to the family at Astrobulus. You ever know that one family with a bunch of kids? Man, we think that that's so uncommon. We know that there's those one families that come, like 1, 2, 3, 4, like you need a minivan, you need a mini bus to get your kids there. Like, we see those things and we think that that's so uncommon. Man, there's so many different people here. There's a complete household, but we see that almost every Sunday in a gathering. We see families come. But we always want to be like, oh man, the Bible is so special. No, the Bible has always been, it shows and it records ordinary people who took that gospel that was everything and they made it everything. And it continues. I really like this one. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Now, the one thing, though, Narcissus just becomes one of those, like, have you ever known somebody who's a little bit, like, stuck on themselves? Narcissistic, like, you have that. But the name that really got me was Herodian. What most scholars believe is he actually would have been the household of Herod. We're going to be talking a little bit about this next series when we do our Christmas series. But Herod was the king who tried to kill Jesus when Jesus was a baby. He was an insane man. He was maniacal. He was egotistical. He was horribly off. But what does the gospel do with horribly off people? It rescues them. Have you ever met that person who was a you where you're like, dude, I don't see how your life is going to get put back together? It's going to take a divine intervention. It's going to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to set them free in order for them to get on the right path. It happens in Romans 16. Herodian, a guy who was a part of the family of the people who tried to murder Jesus. Do you know how awkward of a conversation that had to be? We're walking around, we're talking to people, let's talk to your family. Like, hey, how'd you grow up? Hey, tell me about your aunts and uncles. Hey, tell me about your great uncle. Yeah. You know that guy who saved our life, repurposed us, redeemed us, our love, the one who was only begotten son who redeemed us from all sins? Yeah, we tried to kill him as a baby. Awkward. Like, again, like there's such a moment where you have, like, but look what the gospel does. Even those who you would never believe would accept the beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ. When we say that the gospel is for everyone, there is nobody who is ever too far away from knowing and accepting the gospel of Jesus Christ. If a person who was part of the family who tried to murder Jesus as a baby can come to know Jesus as Savior, if you're here tonight and you're like, but you don't know what I've done in my past, we'll go back to Luke 2. We'll talk a little bit. But like, there's no one who's ever too far away from God's grace. But we continue. There's yous. Read those workers. The Lord in Tephania and Typhosia. It's actually funny. These are sisters, and their names actually meant delicate and dainty. But the delicate and dainty ones worked hard. You know anyone who's delicate and dainty, but like they're a workhorse? We think that these people are so like, oh, man, like, they're so different. Not that we know these people. These people sit among us. Greet my beloved Persis, who has worked hard for the Lord. Greek here, actually, when it says has worked hard from the Lord, it says that he labored to the point of weakness. You know somebody who absolutely will give it all to make sure that everything here is and people here are being taken care of? I know those people. I love those people. I'm grateful for those people. But man, we read this in the Bible. Oh, that doesn't happen around here. No, it does. One of my favorite names in Luke 16:13. It says, greet Rufus. It says, chosen in the Lord. I don't know why I had to say chosen. Maybe he's too much into predestination. I don't know if this is just like a thing. But again, everybody's chosen in the Lord. We've already gone through that when we've gone through the rest of the book of Romans. It says, he's chosen in the Lord, but also his mother has been a mother to me. I'll say this. I don't got a great family. I got a lot of mamas in Christ. I got a lot of ladies who love me like they're their son. And it's really awkward because I don't handle that stuff really well. But there's a lot of ladies who have watched me grow up in my walk with Christ who have always been like, we've been cheering for me. I can go to Lake Orion right now. And there's a lady who's at guest services and I can show up and she's like, I've watched you grow up. You did a lot of stupid stuff when you were a student guy, but I've loved watching what the Lord has done for you. But have you ever known those people? The gospel is common. The church is full of common people, ordinary people who have just been set free by an extraordinary Savior. And Paul continues, and he's greet Syncretus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrios, Hermias, and the brothers who are with them. Verse 15, greet Phlogotus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister Olympias, and the saints who are with them. Again, I guess Phlogius actually means chatterbox. We don't want to talk about if there's chatterboxes in the church at all. But in Romans 16, then, he says this. He says, greet everybody with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Now, I do want to stop for 1 second. We don't greet each other with a holy kiss. This is a cultural thing. It actually got the church turned around at one point, like people are taking advantage of this and they're being weird about this. We need to stop this practice. People mess this thing up. Again, it was always meant to be a brother in Christ, kind of kissing a brother in Christ, sister in Christ, kissing a sister in Christ. And then you fast forward to the first century church, and they're like, hey, like, we should stop doing this because it's actually causing more sin and it's actually causing more hurt than help. So please don't be one of those weirdo people who take Romans 16:16 and take it super literal during greeting time. Please don't. That's not what Paul's trying to say here. But what is he trying to say, though? Paul's emphasis, though, is the church is meant to love each other, and that love is meant to respect or reflect Christ's love internally and externally. So to be able to come up to somebody and say, hey, I'm going to greet you with a holy kiss, there's a level of comfort, there's a level of vulnerability, there's a level of, hey, bring it in here. Internally, that's really what we should do. Now, a handshake does suffice. Please don't take what I'm saying literal. But one of the things is also what happened when it was greeting with a holy kiss is like people would see that. And they would see the way that the church loved each other and cared for each other. And we read something like that, but that was them. They didn't have any problems. They had persecution. They were being arrested. Like, they could lose their property. But they didn't have Twitter. They didn't have TikTok. They didn't have this. No, they had the Roman guillotine. They had the Colosseum. They had lions. But the reality is what the church should always see is internally we should be loving each other and reflecting Christ's love to one another. As Hebrews says, we should spur one another on for faith and good works. But the world should also turn around and see, man, those people love each other. Not bat-bugging, not talking behind each other's back, not being negative, like being like, no, I love that person. Why? Because the gospel is for everyone. It's just a bunch of us. We're all imperfect. We all struggle. If you're like, man, I got beef with somebody, man, I struggle with that person, welcome to the reality of the church. But the thing that holds us together is more stronger than the thing that separates us. But for us, when we see this, when Paul says, hey, we need to greet each other with a holy kiss, then he says something beautiful. He says, all the churches of Christ greet you. Again, Paul's emphasis is you're not in this alone. Like, what is happening here in Flushing is absolutely beautiful. The gospel is being preached. People are getting connected. People's lives are being transformed. You're seeing people come from death to life. We're seeing baptisms. We're seeing kids. We're seeing kids being brought up and preached the gospel every Sunday. And then when they go home, parents are in on this mission as well. Just be like, man, we're the only ones. No, we're not. Because again, sometimes that you can become an emphasis that we are the only one. You are the only one. No, Paul's saying, hey, all the churches in Christ greet you. My friend Pastor Noble is actually preaching down at Lake Lorien right now. I was in debate about calling him in the middle of the sermon and being like, hey, I just want to say hi, and everybody in Flushing says hi too. I'm pretty sure that'd be a distraction, and I'd probably get yelled at for doing that. But it still would have been one of those things. My friend, who I love dearly, I've been serving alongside for years, is preaching at a location 35 to 40 minutes down the road. But what we're preaching is the same gospel. Different text, different speaker. But all the gospel of all the churches of Christ greet you. Does every person get a shout out? No. But what Paul is emphasizing here is it shows that each person who is connected to the church, who is in the church, who has accepted Jesus as their Savior, is connected to something much bigger than themselves. As Grant said, you might not have been one of the people who went into Genesee County Jail, but by giving, by praying, you were part of that group that went in, and we got to preach the gospel to inmates, people who most people would forget on the Thanksgiving. Well, they did their time, they did their issue, it was their fault, they got to go down with it. You were a part of that. And we get to see just a small glimpse of this with the River Church, with us just being connected with 9 locations. But to think globally, what the River Church is a part of, what you are a part of, is this gospel effort where everybody in the world gets to see, experience, and know that Jesus Christ is Savior. Do we get the opportunity to get to Macedonia? No, but at the same rate, we're reaching people in Flushing, Michigan. That's just as important. But so often we're like, but it's in the Bible, they're superheroes, they're used. No. They're used.
use, get to be used by God. Paul's pushing his original audience to know that this entire list emphasized the commonness of the church. For those who accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, for those who have taken the next steps in baptisms are ordinary people. They're not just a society outside of society or one nation or one class or one social group. They're hardworking men and women. They were slaves, elite. They were pagans, the Jews who came to know Christ. They were sisters and brothers and mothers. There were no ways. There were the people with all the kids. There were the chatterboxes. There were all the people who were working hard. They were a bunch of ordinary people. But Paul's turning around and saying, hey, I'm eager to preach to you. So what's the best way to wrap up Romans? The best way to wrap up Romans is as much solid doctrine and teaching that the book of Romans contains. We must never forget that all 16 chapters must never foreshadow the fact that the truth of the gospel must be emphasized and taught to people. People who were lost, but people who God loved. People who were disobedient, but people who God wanted to instruct. People who were tired of living in their own sin and the weight of trying to do it all on their own. But they wanted the beauty of the gospel. People who wanted to become humble servants of Christ. People who, by reading these amazing chapters, can truly, fully grasp the gospel of Jesus Christ and be used in all sorts of amazing ways to spread the gospel around the world. So how do we wrap up? So I am eager to preach the gospel to you, also you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel for Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. For it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. The gospel is for everybody. The gospel is everything. And for us, the way that we're going to kind of wrap up is it's going to start with you. It's going to start with yourself. And one of the most intimate, one of the most precious ways that we possibly can make sure that the gospel is a living reality in our lives is taking communion. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to read some verses from God's word from 1 Corinthians 11. And these are verses that you might have heard. You might even quickly be like, I know them, Ryan. I've done communion 100 times. Ryan, I get this. But to go back to that idea, the gospel is everything and the gospel is for everybody. We got to take a second and we got to realize, like, the gospel starts with us. This starts with your individual understanding, your individual relationship with Jesus. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, God's word says, for I received from the Lord what I also deliver to you, that Jesus, Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So in a second, you're going to get a cup and there's going to be a cracker in it. It's not a real cracker in the sense of it's Jesus' body. It's symbolic. Then Jesus continues. This is in the same way. He also took the cup from supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So in a second, a little bit, when I tell them they're ready, you'll get a cup. And it'll say, it'll symbolize Jesus' blood. Is it really Jesus' blood? No. Some Kirkland's best, man. But what is it meant to represent? You're going to have the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The most essential element of the gospel is that Jesus Christ came down, broke his real body for you. He shed his real blood for you. But in verse 26, it says, as often as you eat the bread and you drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I really wish we could stop there. Because it'll make communion a little bit easier. Oh, yeah, I know about the broken body. I know about the shed blood of Jesus.
But verse 27 says, "For whoever eats of the bread and drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. Let a person examine himself, and then so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." We have to look at our lives. And as much as we just got done talking about that the gospel is everything and the gospel is for everyone, you have to make sure that you are standing in a way that you're like, yes, I know that God loves me. I know that I have given my life to God. I know that the Jesus Christ is Lord. I have repented of my sin. I know that I need him, and if without him, I would not have life. But you have to be able to examine that for yourself. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus is Lord, don't partake, but if you'd like to partake, all you got to do is accept Jesus, and I'll be standing right off to the side. Love to be able to pray with you today so you can truly know where life is at. You can truly know who gave you life. But I'm going to have some friends. I'm going to invite you guys to come up and start passing out. And as they pass, just take a moment. Just pray. Ask God, is there anything in your life that is hindering you from the gospel being everything? Is there something that is going on in your life that maybe you need to take to the Lord Jesus? I mean, let's be honest. We just had family over at our house. There's probably some things that we might need to clear out of the way with Christ too. But maybe there's also the reality that we need to look at our lives. And is the gospel really everything? Does the gospel really matter? Is the gospel really true? But I want to invite you to take that time personally. And just spend with the Lord. As the band plays in the background, we're going to let them pray for a little bit. And then I'll come back up and we'll partake and we'll worship the Lord. Before we get there, allow me to pray as we all go to the Lord just for examination. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, as a church, it's not about programming. It's not about everything being super smooth, Lord. It's about us all bringing ourselves to you. So, Lord, in this moment, for my brothers and sisters in Christ, and Lord, I pray people are joining us online, partaking as well. Lord, I pray that, Lord, your spirit of wisdom, your spirit of light, Lord, just the truth of who you are, Lord, just takes over. Lord, if there's anything in our way, Lord, that is causing us to stumble, causing us not to believe and to live out the gospel with all that we have, Lord, pray that you show us that. But Lord, thank you so much for your broken body. Thank you so much for your shed blood. Lord, as we take a time just to be with you, Lord, pray that every single person is able to draw close. Lord, as the band plays in the background, Lord, I pray that the most signified and solid sound and the most clear way you possibly can be, Lord, pray you talk to every single one of us. Jesus, we love you. Lord, thank you for this time where we can just sit resting in your presence. We pray this all in your beautiful name.